Can I take a picture? Would that be permissible?
Okay.
Well, I don't do selfies real good, but let me do this.
Send it to me, please. Yes. Smile.
Everybody, I can see a couple of people in the back row that are not smiling. All right, everybody wave. Okay, fantastic. That way, my boss, my supervisor, will know that I was here today. I'm not talking about David. I'm talking about Lily, all right? Lily normally travels with me, but she's not able to come much this year as she was in the past. And she sends her love, sends her congratulations, Elias, and a hearty welcome to all of you that have met her before. Quite some time ago, I learned a valuable lesson. I learned how to mind my own business. Anybody still got to learn that? How to mind their own business? Well, let me tell you, there's some times where we need to set that aside, but there's a lot of times where we just need to mind our own business. I was walking in front of this mental health institution one day, and I heard a bunch of commotion across the fence on the lawn of this institution. And the people that were over there were yelling, 13, 13, 13. And it got the curiosity up, so I was looking, but the fence was too high. I couldn't see over there. So I finally found a little hole in one of the slats in the fence, and I put my eye up there to look through there, and all of a sudden there was a stick that came right out and poked me in the eye. And all of a sudden I heard, 14, 14, 14. I want to tie the ordination ceremony that we just had with mission, okay? It's not about being overbearing. Many times we figure, I need to mind my own business because people think I'm overbearing whenever I try to talk to them about the gospel, whenever I talk to them about the salvation in Jesus. And sometimes we think we're being obnoxious, or, you know, sometimes we might even assume ourselves that we're in a better or a much higher spiritual level than the people that we're trying to minister to or serve, and they recognize that. So there's a lot of different reasons why we would think I need to mind my own business. I love what Paul wrote to the Roman, to the church in Rome. He said, I am a debtor, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. This is exactly what ordination and mission are all about. It's why they connect to each other. You can't separate mission and ordination. Ordination is the setting apart to do something. What we are all set apart to do, including your pastor, is the mission of the church. That's what we're set aside to do. So it's very, very important that we, as individuals, understand this, and that we echo Paul's assertion, I am indebted. I am indebted. I owe. Now, our salvation is paid for. So virtually, it is free, right? There's no amount of work that we could ever do to earn our salvation. Am I correct?
Amen.
But it costs something to somebody. It cost Jesus his life. Then he took it back again. But it costs something. So we are indebted. We are indebted to him for what he has done for us. He also said, Paul said, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to go preach in Rome. I'm ready to go share the good news in Rome. See, he had never been there, but there was one important thing that he had heard, and it's found in the first chapter. He says, I hear all around about your faith. And that impresses me.
So I'm anxious to go where you're at, knowing the persecutions that he would come across. He was still ready to go. And he also said a very important assertion that he made. He said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm ready, Paul says, to suffer what needs to be suffered, to do what I need to do, but I'm still going to preach Jesus no matter what. I'm not ashamed of that gospel. For it is the power, he says, of God for salvation. Much of ministry, the work in the ministry, is to be devoted to maturing and to equipping believers. That's according to Paul again in chapter 4 of Ephesians. That's the job. That's the responsibility to equip, to mature the believers. In other words, to disciple. Yet it seems that today people are more interested in building their own ministry. You ever heard the phrase, my ministry? It ain't your ministry. If you're called of God, it's not your ministry. Now, if you're not called of God, then it is your ministry. And God has no place in it. But if it's called of God, then it's not your ministry. Ladies in our church in San Antonio, there we go, our church. Ladies in the church in San Antonio where we were pastoring when we first got there says, now what are you going to do with your church? What is your church going to be like? What kind of music is going to be played in your church? First thing I said was, it's not my church. Well, you're the pastor. Yeah, but it's not my church. I didn't die for you, and I would never die for you. Okay? Let's get that saying straight right now. I won't die for you. I love you, but I won't die for you. Why? Because there's somebody that already did. And it's his church. It's not my church. So we're more interested in building our ministry, or we're more interested in pursuing better programs or bigger programs that will attract people to come. And there's nothing wrong with that, except when that is the focus, to bring them in to our ministry. Something else that we do is that we're always looking to build bigger and better buildings. How many of you know that the original church never was started in a building? I'm not so sure that was in God's plan. I mean, I'm glad that we have great buildings that we have. And they serve a purpose, just like the temple did for them. It serves a purpose. And by the way, how many of you noticed that I was texting this morning? Anybody notice that you noticed that I was texting? Okay. Did that offend you? I'm going to put him on the spot here. My youngest son, one day while I was preaching, he was going at it and got it, and I got closer and closer and closer and louder and louder and louder, and he was still going and going and going. And Miguel, and you guys know Miguel, and I finally tapped him on the head, and he looked up, and after church, I said, man, what were you doing texting while I was preaching? He said, no, Dad, I was taking notes. I'm sorry. Let me tell you, I wasn't texting either. Now, do you feel bad because you thought I was texting? This past year or so, when I'm visiting a church, the Lord speaks to me several things through the time of worship in that church. Because the worship time reflects your heart. It reflects your heart. And let me tell you what I heard this morning. One of the songs was asked the question, what will you do, Lord? He says, well, I already did it. I created you. And he goes on, the song goes on to say, if not you, then who? If not now, then when? Right? There's a calling of God upon your life to be Him in this earth. He has empowered you to be Him in this earth. Another song that you were singing was, "You give life, you are love, you bring light to the dark, you restore." Right? We were singing that, right? I wasn't imagining things this morning. Lily says, "Really? You heard that? I didn't hear that." So sometimes I think I'm imagining things, but I wasn't imagining that, right? Let me tell you this. Let me tell you what I received from that as you guys were worshiping this morning. That same message that you received from these songs, that same inspiration, that same motivation that you received from these songs this morning, from your time of worship, is what they need to hear out there. They need to hear it out there. Because this reflects the heart of God, and the heart of God is being reflected through you. I'm certain that He, Christ, who died for a lost world, if He were here today with us during this ordination ceremony, just as He was present with the disciples after the resurrection, He would again proclaim to us today. He would again emphasize today what He said in Mark chapter 16. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And then He added something else in Matthew. In Matthew, not only He didn't say go and preach. In Mark, He said go and preach the gospel. But in Matthew, He said make disciples. So there's two things that are part of the mission of the church: sharing the gospel and making disciples. Can you bring up that next slide? Here's the mission of the church. Can everybody see that? Okay. The mission of the church is to share the good news of the gospel with all people, regardless of color or ethnicity. Regardless of color or ethnicity. From here in Donna, Texas, all around the world. It starts right here. For me, it starts in Little Rock, Arkansas. For you, it starts right here in Donna. That's your mission. That is the mission of the church today. So it's all about good news. It's sharing the good news. See, I have a problem, or I used to have a problem with the word preach. I never counted myself as a preacher, and I still don't. I'm not a preacher in the traditional sense. A good friend of mine told me, "Frank, you are a preacher." I said, no, Claude, I'm not a preacher. I don't like to use that word." He says, "Do you talk?" "Yeah." "Do you like the Oakland Raiders?" "Man, absolutely. Don't get me talking about the Oakland Raiders." He says, "You're just proclaiming. You're just preaching." About those thugs? To preach, all it means is to proclaim, to say, to talk, to share. So I'm more comfortable with that. But I still don't use preach. I use share. I love to share. I love to share the gospel. But see, it's about sharing the gospel. And we need to understand what the gospel is. Because so many times within the church, we have either watered down the gospel or we've switched the focus of what the gospel really is. As I said a few minutes ago, we focus on other things other than building the kingdom. And the gospel is all about building the kingdom. The mission of the church is all about building the kingdom. So it's about this. It's about good news. Everybody say good news?
Good news.
It's never about bad news. How many of you growing up, or if you're still growing up, Lily says I'm still growing up. I'm 66 years old, and from the time that I was 5 years old until about 5 years ago, here's what I continually heard as the good news. I shouldn't say 5 years ago, about 35 years ago. If you don't repent, you're going to go to hell. Now, is that the truth? But is that good news? My mom used to tell me, "Pastor Green, where are you going?" "I'm going to the movies."
Well, if Jesus comes while you're sitting in that movie, you're going to stay there. You're not going to heaven. I love my mom. And I owe a lot to her prayers. I used to come in at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. The first thing I'd see was, I'm not kidding you, I'd see her in the front living, in the living room, on her knees, on the, in the sofa, praying. And all I could hear was, help Frank, help Frank, help Frank. Get home, get home. I owe a lot to her. But she never told me the good news. I learned about the good news eventually. And that's what we all need to hear. And that's what we all need to share, is the good news. So let me give you 3 points, and I'm going to be finished very quickly. Oh, I'm about 3 minutes behind here. The next slide, please. You are a messenger of the good news. According to chapter 52 of Isaiah, verse 7, it says this: how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger. In the Jewish Oxford Bible, or the Jewish Orthodox Bible, it says that a messenger is one who has the news of good tidings. And he also calls him an evangelist who brings good news. The good news of, there's three things that I want you to grab a hold of here. When we're talking about good news, when we're talking about sharing the good news or preaching the good news, if that's what you prefer, there's three things that are very important. You preach the news, the good news of peace. Peace. There's peace. There's not chaos. There's not lack in Jesus. In Jesus, you're not going to be free of bad circumstances. You're not going to be free of conflict. So it doesn't, peace does not mean, in this context, does not mean that you're going to be free of conflict or free of persecution or free of other things. But what it means by peace is what David discovered. God, you are my shepherd, and I have need of nothing. And as I have need of nothing, I'm complete. I'm whole. That's the peace that we need to be proclaiming. That in Jesus, you are whole. If we start going around saying that in Jesus you won't have any problems at all, you're lying to them. Let me just be a little more blunt. You're going to go to hell for lying to them. Can I get a little more blunter than that? No. We need to share the good news that in Jesus we are complete. We're still going to have problems. We're still going to have that. But with Jesus on our side, we don't need to worry about anything. And that's exactly what David was saying. With God, I don't have anything to worry about. I have everything that I need. And then we also need to preach that in Jesus is salvation. And there's only salvation in Jesus. We are exclusive in that area. I don't mind saying, we're not politically correct in that area. We should never be politically correct in that area. We should love the sinner because that's what Jesus did. But the truth of the gospel never changes. Salvation is found only in Jesus. And the other part of the good news is that God is in control. Every situation that you face today, let me tell you, didn't catch God by surprise. It did not catch him by surprise. Last year, my baby sister passed away. 2 weeks prior to that, we had been in Dallas. We'd seen her, and we asked, because she'd been having some heart problems. She said, man, Frank, I haven't felt this good in probably 5 years. Medication is working great. I'm exercising. I feel wonderful. I feel like, man, God has just completely healed me. And we rejoiced with her. 2 weeks later, I get a call from her son. She had a massive heart attack. Caught us by surprise. It didn't catch God by surprise. He's in control of the whole situation. No matter what you face today, God is in control of that situation. And let me tell you, the people outside need to know that. Because they're searching. They're searching. They want to know that this life is worth living. You've got the answer. Is everybody going to accept? No. No. Paul says to the Romans, for everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? How can they ever hear it if you're not sent? I want you to keep that in mind. That is why the scriptures say, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. Not everyone will accept. It says, but not everyone welcomes the good news, for Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? But regardless of whether you accept the message or not, you're still the messenger of good news. Regardless of whether they accept it or not, is not up to you. I have yet to convince somebody that they need Jesus in their life. I have yet to convince anybody. And I doubt very much that anybody can convince anybody. But it's the Holy Spirit's job to convince that person. It's our job, it's our responsibility to share the good news of peace, of salvation in Jesus, and that God is in control. So with that said, let's go on to the next slide, because you are anointed. That's another word I don't like to use a lot. Because, you know, a lot of times the indication is you get loud and you get boisterous and spit comes out, and that's why people sit in the back row and all that kind of stuff. And that's what a lot of Pentecostal deem as being anointed. I don't believe that. I believe that if Jesus is in me, I have the anointed one in me. And I'm anointed because of that. But you are anointed and you are sent. Remember I told you to keep that word in your mind. You are sent. If you want to go with me to Isaiah chapter 61, it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. I know Jesus used this word in the context he was talking about himself, but he also gave us the charge. Okay? The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring the good news. He has equipped me. He is in me. His Spirit is in me. So that I can share the good news. In Acts, when the Holy Spirit descended, do you know why the reason that the Holy Spirit descended? Was it to speak in tongues? It was for us to be empowered to be witnesses. Amen. So we would be empowered to be His witnesses. To bring good news to the poor, you guys do a great job of that. I know that. And there's churches all over the place that do a great job with that. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim that captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. That's a mouthful. But let me tell you, you are equipped. You are anointed to bring that message. You are sent to take that message to the people that need to hear it. Can I tell you that other Christians don't need to hear it? Let me say that again. Other Christians don't need to hear it. It's people that are searching for truth. The truth is in Jesus, and that's the ones that need to hear this message. The last point that I want to make here is this. You are designed to encourage. One of the biggest things that we overlook as believers a lot of times is that when we're talking, we're not very encouraging. When we're speaking to some people, we're not real good about being encouraging. Yet the Bible tells us this. Don't use foul language or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful. Let everything be good and helpful so that your words will be what? An encouragement to those who hear them. When we share the good news, it should be encouraging. I was never encouraged whenever somebody told me I was going to go to hell. Great! I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to leave church today and I'm going to go celebrate. No, that never was encouraging. But let me tell you what was encouraging. Was the day that I had my on-the-road-to-Damascus experience. I had just gotten off the platform, because and that's what I missed today is this little thing right here, a little horn right back there. I played trumpet on the worship team at my dad's church. I got off that platform, walked outside, sat in my car and smoked two cigarettes, came back in and sat in the back pew of the church. And I almost went to sleep. As a matter of fact, I did go to sleep. And while I was sleeping, the Lord showed me four areas, four times in my life, and every time He asked me the question, or He told me this, He made this declaration, "You're alive because I loved you. You're alive because I love you. You're alive because I love you. You're alive because I love you." After that fourth one, I ran to the altar and I confessed all my... Now, I'm not saying the cigarette smoking is a sin. It's bad for your health. I can tell you that. Okay? Because I said I ran to the altar. I stopped about 15 foot after I started running. I had to sit down and catch my breath. But I came to the altar, and without anyone laying hands on me and without anyone asking me to come to the front to the altar, I came and I said, "Lord, I need you." And that was a defining moment in my life. At the age of 39, I gave my heart to the Lord. At the age of 39. Yet for 34 years, I had been in church. But I heard the good news from Jesus Himself. You are His hands. You are His feet. You are His mouthpiece. I want you to go and share today. One last word that I have for you as we were worshiping. Here's what the Lord gave me for you as this congregation. You have come today and are filled. You have come today and are filled. Let me just put this in parentheses. God filled you with His presence as you worshiped today. You are filled. And this word is just but the dessert on what He is filling you with today. You have come and are filled now. Now go and empty yourselves. Go and empty yourselves. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, I pray today for this beautiful congregation that you have here, this beautiful church, these beautiful people, these wonderful people that love you here in Donna, Texas. It may not be the biggest church. They may not be the richest church. They may not have all these other things that some of these churches have. But what I do know that they have, and is very important, is the Holy Spirit living in them. And Lord, because of that, you will guide them as they leave this place today and empty themselves of all that they have received from you today. I pray, God, that the words that were spoken here this afternoon would touch their hearts. But more than that, Lord, they would take these words and plant them in other souls. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.